This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number two as we get underway. PGA Championship will be played in Tulsa, Oklahoma this week. Second major of the year. It'll be at Southern Hills, a place that hosted a U.S. Open once, a couple PGA Championships, won by Tiger Woods back in 2007. It does not include Phil Mickelson. We've discussed Mickelson for a lot over the last couple of days. When we talk about the PGA Championship this week, yeah, Phil not being there is still news. This book that Alan Shipnick is writing is going to be out soon. There has been some advanced copies. People have read it. They like it a lot. They say it's a very easy read, kind of a fun read to go through and hear a lot of the Mickelson stories. What I've been hearing about this book, or at least reading about this book, I should say, is that there is a lot of good and there's a lot of bad. So if you're a Phil fan, you'll enjoy it because there's a lot of great stories in there about how Phil did this for this guy or helped this family with this or stayed late for these kids. You know, there's a bunch of them. And then there's a couple that make you go, oh, wow, I didn't realize that about good old Mr. Mickelson. Then I was reading yesterday, Billy Walters, who was the gambling guy that ended up going to prison for a little bit, where Phil and him were together, and Phil made money on an inside trading information given to him by Billy, and he had to pay back $1 million, that he is going to be writing a book with Armin Kattan. And there's a lot of speculation that he is not going to hold back on his relationship with Phil and some of the things that's going to come out in that book. Again, I get it. It's a little open season on Phil Mickelson. We talked about it being open season on Chris Paul. It's open season on Phil Mickelson for the last couple of months now. And business is good in the take down Phil Mickelson department. But at the same time, I go back and forth on this. If that's your business, if that's what you want to do, if you want to sell a tell-all book on the inside the Mickelson golf empire, enjoy it for a little bit, because in this country we tend to forgive a lot. And I don't know what the window is for a takedown Phil Mickelson book, but it's gotta think it's kind of short, especially when he starts playing golf again. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. It's Wake Up Call Sports Map Radio. Glad you could be with us with Tony D, Ron Culver. And we'd love to have you on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We continue.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, time for the good, the bad, and the dumb here on your Tuesday. We give you the good, the bad, and the dumb every day, but this day is unique because it's this day. What's the good of
the good? The good is a really, really good. It only adds to the legend.
Right.
That is of Steph Curry. So, ooh. Steph Curry finally graduated from Davidson this past week. After a 13-year leave,
yeah,
if you will. He was close to graduating. You know, put your fingers close together and say he was this close to graduating. But he decided to pause his academics to concentrate on the draft. Smart move. I think it turned out okay for him.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
So,
well done.
Where this really adds to the legend is that he re-enrolled this spring.
All right.
And took the last remaining classes, all the while taking the Warriors deep into the playoffs.
So he was taking classes while he was in the playoffs. That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Like he didn't do the Jerome Bettis route, which is just wait till you're retired.
Wait till you're done.
Time.
Or, you know, wait till it's the offseason.
Right.
Like James,
or wait till the offseason.
Jameis Winston just recently graduated, and,
right,
you know, he did it during the offseason.
Yeah.
Nah, he decided, like, yeah, I can do this basketball thing and, you know, take some college courses. It's not that hard.
Well, good for them.
So that's just to add to the legend of Steph. Like, we
did
needed
he promise
to.
His mom that he would graduate, and that's why he went down there?
I don't know. Maybe he wanted to show his kids that, you know, finish what you started. I'm not sure.
Finish what you started? That's kind of cool.
I don't know. Maybe it was just something eating away at him. Like, you know, I promised myself that I would do this, and now I'm going to do this.
Yeah, and as I've always said about when people tell me, like,
college basketball, you should make the players stay in college. And I go, why? And they go, you know, because they need an education. And then they go, well, what if they come back? And they go, well, how many of them come back? And I'm like, what do you care?
Yeah.
Like, but when you hear a good story like that, you go, okay, that's kind of cool.
No, and then like in Steph's case, I think it was smart of him to concentrate on the draft. You know, it's a career move that he made that turned out okay for him.
I never understood. I get the education thing, like get an education, right? You know, you can't put a price on a degree, but that's why most people go to college, is to get a good job or a job in the field
right.
that they want. And if the job in the field that you want happens to be NBA player, go get it. Good for him. Yeah, and then you'll come back and get your degree so you can have a piece of paper to hang on a wall.
Yep.
And there you go. Good for him. All right, what's the bad of the day then?
The bad of the day, Deshaun Watson is taking the entire offense, Cleveland Browns offense, to the Bahamas for some
I saw
team
that.
Building and football chemistry.
Okay, but the NFL is investigating him.
Yep.
But they don't know where that's going.
So, nope.
But he's like, let's go to the Bahamas and let's go work out.
Let's go work out. Let's leave the distractions behind. The only thing that, I mean, a lot of people were quick to point out two things. One, you know, does he know all the massage parlors and where they're going?
Oh, here we go, yeah.
But the biggest one, and it's very true, someone pointed out that a certain team is 8-25 since probably an ill-timed boat trip down
That's
to Florida.
Right. That's right. That's right. They were getting ready for that big playoff game in Green Bay.
Yeah, we're talking about the New York football Giants.
Yeah, exactly. But that was done in between during the playoff
run. That was done. Yeah, that was what?
So
between the final game and.
Yeah, nobody picked on them because they were doing it in the offseason.
Which, no.
You know, which seems like the time to do that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, is he even the quarterback? This Cleveland Browns thing is so fascinating to me.
You know, it really is. To me, I'm really perplexed as to where this is going. Like, because I know a suspension has got to be coming. Right?
It has to be.
Like, without question. Like this. Whether or not we can argue all the merits all day long about how long it should be, but we all should be able to agree, knowing the past of the NFL and how they've dealt with situations like this, that a suspension is coming in some form. Whether it's a full year, 6 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 9 weeks, I have no idea. But it would be naive to think that one isn't coming.
Yeah, and it's not going to be one of those things where it's like, well, you know, he sat out last year, so he served his time.
Right, exactly.
No, it's something bigger happening.
Yeah, I think you're right here. And so, yeah.
So, I mean, on
the
surface.
Is he doing his best to try to, do you think the Bahamas trip is more like, hey guys, I'm going to really need you on my side.
Maybe.
When the beep hits the beep and I'm suspended. And then you guys get asked about it. Right?
Yeah.
Like a little subliminal, like, hey, all expense paid trip to the Bahamas to work out. And then when it actually occurs and everybody's in the locker room going, What do you make of Deshaun? Your comments
on
Deshaun?
He's a great guy, stand-up guy.
You know, he's a good guy. You know, I got to know him really well when we went down to the Bahamas, and you know, I really, really can't wait for him to play again. I know he's got to serve the suspension, but he's a very good guy. We got along really well. Is that what he's trying to do? Maybe that's what he's trying to do.
My question is
win over his friends.
Do you think he invited Baker? I mean, you know, it says
if you're Baker, would you go?
The entire Cleveland Browns offense went.
If you're Baker, would you go? You want to be ready in case the suspension comes and they need you.
Yeah, I know.
You know, golly.
But all right, it's a fat. I can't wait
really,
to. I can't wait.
To get closer. I got to tell you, that's the big. When we get closer and closer to camp and whatnot, that whole development is going
to
be.
We might have to have a Cleveland Browns guest a couple of times.
I think you might be right
during the training camp.
All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. I don't want to be a food snob or even a nation. Food snob, but Burger King in Germany, their menu is kind of disgusting. I'm sorry.
All right, but you know, to each his own.
To each his own. I mean, you know, maybe these things here. Well, they over Mother's Day they had introduced what was called the pregnancy Whopper.
Uh-oh.
So you could have certain things like a cucumber and jam Whopper,
okay.
Or fish sticks and applesauce Whopper or curry sausage and fried herring.
Is that what pregnant women crave, is fish sticks and applesauce?
I guess. I don't know. I've never been a pregnant woman.
I know, but we've been around pregnant women.
True. They also have other stuff on their menu where you can buy a Whopper and literally get a whole fish on it.
Like a whole fish?
Like a whole fish.
Like, are we talking head and tail, or are we talking filet?
Yeah, we're talking head and tail.
Ooh, I don't know about this. Wow, man, how do you prepare all that stuff?
I don't know. It's the currywurst and brathering. I hope I'm saying that fish right. I mean, a lot of these are German things. I don't even know, like gherkin marmalade. I know what marmalade is, but I don't know. Yeah.
Well,
where it's like one looks like it has fried egg, tomatoes, and bananas on a Whopper.
Fried egg,
tomato, and bananas.
Mm. I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
What was Elvis's meal? Bacon, peanut butter,
fried peanut butter and jelly.
No. It was bacon. It had bananas in it and peanut butter, I think.
Okay. That's not that bad. Sounds good.
Yeah. I think that's what that's.
But I mean, this one has thing. Like, it looks like it has. I mean, it's a whole fish. I see the tail. I mean, the head is missing.
Okay, so they chop off the head.
They chopped off the head, but the tail, the fish kind of looks like it might have been fried. I mean, there's sausage on it. I don't know. I can't get behind this. I'm sorry.
No, I can't get behind it either. I can barely handle some of the other weird creations that they've thrown at me, like the chicken French fries.
Yeah.
Those were a little bizarre.
Chicken fries.
Like, they were tasty, but I was like, how do you make these again? You just strip.
Did you just put the meat back together? Yeah. What did you do here?
Are we doing some sort of industrial food glue to put this together? I don't know about this.
Yeah.
Yikes.
I mean, whatever happened to just, make a burger.
They had a burger in Asia that was like a bun that had like squid ink.
Yep.
In it. Remember that? It was black.
The black bun.
Yeah, the black bun. Yeah.
They've had food that changed the color of your poo.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Golly. Burger King.
So, I mean, it's just, why? What I want out of there's a Burger King next to my house. All I want from them is for me not to sit in the drive-thru line 20 minutes.
No, that's it. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I refuse to go there because the last two times I've been there, I literally have sat in the drive-thru line 20 minutes.
That's terrible. Because, it's not fast food. It's restaurant time.
I mean, I could have sat down at a restaurant and ordered a burger from there, had it delivered, maybe eaten, and paid for it and walking out the door.
There's a balance in a fast food establishment. The balance is I may not be getting the healthiest food, but I'm getting it really fast.
Yes.
Right? Like, if I want to wait 20 minutes, I'll just go to a restaurant and order something from there that will take 10 minutes.
Right.
Like, that way I can control the ingredients a little bit. Maybe I get a salad. I can, I can eat a little bit healthier in a restaurant.
Well, if it's a burger you're ordering, you're getting better quality meat.
Yeah, you're getting better quality meat. But your establishment, I'm going to get food quickly.
So I can get on the road again.
So I can get on the road. But if I'm going to wait 20 minutes, why bother?
Right.
Right? Unless I really, really crave a Whopper.
I don't know. I guess maybe I get one of these with sausage and fish on it.
Oh, yikes. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right. We'll talk PGA Championship and Tiger's legit chances when we come back on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue it is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Love to have you comment on a couple of things we've been buzzing about this morning, including the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA. Hey, when you discover a new favorite bottle of Cabernet or Chardonnay, a Total Wine and More, you'll discover a whole lot more, like the friendly smile of an expert guide ready to help you find that perfect bottle and the confidence of knowing you just found something special. So explore the wondrous selection and totally low prices at TotalWine.com, where you'll find what you love and love what you find. Drink responsibly. B21. A PGA Championship getting underway Thursday, second major of the year. Look, there's plenty of storylines outside Tiger Woods. Jordan Spieth going for the career Grand Slam, and Colin Morikawa, and Scott Scheffler, the hottest golfer this season. John Rahm is looking for his second major. There's a bunch of them. But it's still a Tiger world. And I think people are kind of wondering, okay, we saw Tiger at the Masters. He made the cut. He played all four rounds. He's been talking about the strength of his leg. How is it a month later? Like, he had a month to even get better than he was at the Masters, which was rather surprising. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I was really impressed with Tiger at the Masters getting around that golf course. We kind of talked about it at the time. Like, hey, can he even walk around this? Like, it's one thing to walk around it on Thursday. What happens if you get to Saturday? He's still going to have the staying power of being able to walk around that golf course, and it's hilly. I mean, the cameras don't do Augusta National much justice when it comes to the hills of that golf course. But he's had a month now of even more therapy, even more walking, even more strength. And now people are wondering what kind of shot Tiger Woods has on this golf course, a course that he won on in 2007, but was a completely different player, of course, when he was dominating the golf world. And now he's a guy that is playing only in his second tournament since a 2021 February car crash. Now, I think that what I find is, and has always found fascinating with Tiger, is that he's a lot like Tom Brady, right? Tom Brady, when he was young, he's going to these Super Bowls. He's winning these Super Bowls. Patriots are building a dynasty. Then he gets to other Super Bowls, wins some, loses some, but he's kind of this presence. And then he's in his 40s, and he's still going to Super Bowls, and he's winning on a new team. And, you know, it's like all of the quarterbacks that are coming up and have come through the NFL since Brady's arrival, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Ben Roethlisberger, Aaron Rodgers, all of these quarterbacks that have come through and have been drafted and played in this league, and some have come and gone, and he is still around, and this league still rotates around the orbit that he has, and that's Tiger. If you look at this, at the way golf is right now and the talent that is out there, the young talent that is out there, it is incredible. But it is still Tiger's orbit. It is still a sport that wants badly to get back in the good graces of a Tiger Woods resurgence, that wants to have that, right? If you were to ask anybody what would be better, Scottie Scheffler winning his second straight major going into the U.S. Open, or Tiger Woods just in competition without winning, they tell you Tiger. It's always going to be Tiger. That's not really surprising that he still moves the needle that way. Like, Scottie Scheffler won the Masters, right? And he was the top player going into the Masters. But we couldn't get enough of Tiger Woods making his return to golf. And it's the same thing here. I think that his round is going to get analyzed on how many things he can still do with a golf club and how many things he struggles with in a golf club. Now, I think the Mickelson story dies quickly as this tournament progresses, like it did at Augusta. I'm curious. I'll be honest with you. I'm curious on the broadcast team that's bringing you the PGA Championship. I'm curious as to how often they will talk about Phil not being there. Because it's different than Augusta. Like, I gotta be honest with you. Augusta, they run the broadcast. Like, they tell the announcers how to say things, what verbiage to use, and all of that. Thing like Vince McMahon talking to the wrestling announcers in their ear. Like, the Master says, we want you to call it this. We want you to say this. We want you to use this term. We don't want you to say this. We want, don't say fans, say patrons, right? Those all sorts of different verbiages that they want to use in the broadcast. PGA, maybe not so much, but you could see Augusta National saying to Jim Nance and the CBS crew, don't talk about Phil. He's not here. Talk about the players that are here. Talk about our course. Talk about the Masters. Talk about this tournament. PGA, different story. And unlike the Masters, Phil is the defending champion. And there haven't been that many defending champions at the majors that have not been around to defend it. I think I checked, it was like since 1901, six? Or no, I'm sorry, 1920, six have not defended their title, not being able to go to defend their championship in the event that they won. And So I do think Phil's absence is going to be brought up a number of times, but I don't think it's going to be an overriding story. I think it's going to come and go, because I do think the focus is going to be on Rory and Jordan and Scottie Scheffler and Colin Morikawa and even like Dustin Johnson or whoever is in there.
Yeah, I agree. I find it hard that they would be still talking about it, harping on it, thinking about it, you know, debating on it on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, and again,
I think that Friday it may not even just be a little. I don't even think it'll be a blurb.
And again, if you think about it, it's not like Mickelson. Like Mick, we all can agree that last year at Kiawah Island was kind of a once in a blue moon line up the stars type of thing.
Which is why we celebrated it.
Which is why we celebrated. I mean, nobody, even if he was playing on a consistent level, you know, at various events leading up to this, I don't think anybody would have thought Mickelson was a favorite for this thing. Like, it was just, he caught lightning in the bottle at the right time. He even admitted that as much. He didn't expect to win the PGA Championship. And then a couple of things went his way. He was draining a few putts. He found himself with a good score. He started feeling like, I can find fairways. Like, I'm hitting the ball a particular way that I now know I have it. That's what he had at Kiawah Island. I have no idea if it would show up at Southern Hills at all. So I don't think Phil's absence is going to be harped on, but I do think it will be discussed. I don't think it'll be a complete blackout on it. But I said this yesterday. I really wish he was there, man. I'm not figuring this out. Like, where is the pressure coming from to stay away? Why is he staying away? Like, who does he feel he's got to stay away from? This is a guy, let's not forget, this is a guy that hit a moving golf ball on the green at a U.S. Open and then had the audacity to claim it was strategic. Like, he knows he's not very, I mean, I don't, how do I say this? It's not that he's untouchable. It's like he's above so much that he just lets it blow over. Like, I remember that incident at Shinnecock a couple of years ago. So for those of you who don't know, Phil Mickelson was making a putt on a very hard, fast green. The putt was rolling. It was rolling so fast. It was getting a hole. It looked like it was going to go off the green because it was a downward slope. And then there was a hill. So it was going to roll off the green, go down the slope, be at the bottom, and he was going to have to go down there with the wedge and chip back up. But he hit the ball while it was moving, incurred a penalty, and then said later, like, well, I knew the penalty, and I did the math in my head, and it was better for me to hit the ball moving than it was for me to hit the shot down below the hole off the, you know, he was basically making an excuse. And, like, the criticism from golfers was pretty high, but the criticism from fans was virtually non-existent.
No. In fact, the number one thing said was like, Phil, he's just one of us.
Right. Like that's so in this case, who is he staying away from? I don't know if the fans care about these comments. I don't think they're hurt by them or angered by them. I think it sounds like something most of us don't really care. Like, all right, so you wanted to fix the PGA Tour because of some media rights. All right, whatever. It's between you and the Tour. I don't care. Like, what do I care about that? Right? So is it his peers? Is it the media? He's handled controversy before. He's handled a lot of controversy before. He didn't go into hiding on this IRS thing. Where they were asking him about, remember when the FBI showed up at the memorial looking for him? Like, because of this insider training stuff, he handled that fine. He went to the media, spoke up about it. When he bombed out at the U.S. Open in 2006, where he made double bogey on the final hole, where a bogey would have put him in a playoff, and he was hitting through the trees and whatnot.
Do you think this might be like PGA?
Like a suspension?
Yeah. Like a Michael Jordan type of deal going on?
Ah, good question. Really, really good question. Like, we're not going to say it's a suspension. You don't have to say it's a suspension, but we don't want you at these things for a while.
Yeah.
Just sit out. And if you do come, we'll make a statement. PGA Tour, though, doesn't have anything to do with the PGA Championship, which is weird, but I don't know.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with on Sports Map Radio. It is Wake Up Call. Coming up next hour, we'll talk Miami Heat. We'll also talk Boston Celtics, getting you geared up for tonight's game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Also, you know, tonight, if you're watching that game, you can watch the draft lottery, too. That's a thing tonight. And then tomorrow night, Dallas and San Francisco for game one against Golden State. Real quick, I started noticing yesterday that there was a whole bunch of pictures of the SI swimsuit edition. It seemed like there was a bunch of models posing, you know, Russell Wilson's wife had a picture and a couple of others on Twitter. I correct me if I'm wrong. I thought that was a winter thing. I thought that was a February thing. Now it's a May thing. I haven't kept up with the swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated in quite some time.
A little late this year, maybe?
I didn't even know they still did it. If they still did the swimsuit issue. The swimsuit issue was always fascinating to me as a kid because I was like, you know, it was like, of course, you're like, all right, Cheryl Teagues and Christie Brinkley. But then my favorite was like 2 weeks later, everyone's canceling their subscription. Just the letters to the editor would just be filled with people angry, either loving the swimsuit issue or disgusted by it. And as I got a little older, I started wondering, who didn't know Sports Illustrated had a swimsuit issue? And so when they would write things like, I found your magazine distasteful, cancel my subscription. I thought the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue was one of the more famous magazine issues in our country.
I think it is.
Right? Like, if I got a subscription to Sports Illustrated and I was, I don't know, a cognizant adult, I think I would have heard of the fact that they publish once a year a magazine of women in swimsuits. Sometimes the swimsuit was crumpled up and on the beach, but they still at least had pictures in the magazine. So it was always fascinating to me. I got to the mailbox and I found your magazine. I was quite disgusted by that. Yeah, sure you were. Just wanted to write a letter to Sports Illustrated and hope it got in the paper. Nevertheless, I was pretty surprised. I thought I didn't know it was still a thing. But then I should have, because isn't Jared Goff's girlfriend a swimsuit, SI swimsuit model?
I guess. I don't know. I've really been paying attention to it.
You didn't I saw remember that there her is a... celebrating his
no.
win? Remember we talked about it? She Did celebrated it? His win. The Lions That's, had won their yes. first game, and she was on the beach. And getting the pictures, and she was celebrating with the photographer because her boyfriend won an NFL game late in the season. Which I thought was amusing.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I was just confirming that was Jared Goff's. That was Jared Goff's girlfriend.
74-year-old that's gracing the cover of Sports Illustrated.
All right, God bless you. Is it Christie Brinkley? Because if it's No. Christie Brinkley, that would be great. But if it's just an average 74-year-old woman, what are we doing?
Mae Musk?
Is she a former model of some sort?
I'm going to assume yes.
Or did she win be 74 years old and be in the swimsuit model contest?
Well, you know, they're doing that thing where there's four different covers.
Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Like Kim Kardashian is on one, Ciara is on one, then Mae Musk and Yumi Nu. I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know who Yumi Nu is.
I remember the days, the good old days when they were super famous. Elle McPherson, Kathy Ireland, Paulina Poroskova. Remember when they were?
Yeah, you're talking the goats.
Yeah, those are the goats. Stacey Williams. Those were the best. Who was the one that was Rod Stewart's? What? Rachel Hunter was another one.
Yeah.
I remember my swimsuits models from my youth.
Forget that. Rachel Hunter was married to Rod Stewart.
Yeah. I'll never forget he did a song once at a concert. Like, he did one of those, like, MTV Unplug things. And he was getting ready to play a song, and he was talking to the crowd. And he's like, he was just talking about when he was recording. He's like, I remember when he got into his studio, recorded this song, and he was telling a story, and he goes, my wife was one. Like, just out of nowhere, he just mentioned that his wife was a year old when him and his bandmates went to the recording studio to go record that particular song, whatever it was.
Because I know you cared so much, Yumi Nu is a recording artist.
Oh, okay,
Japanese and Dutch recording artist.
Well, good for her. That is great. That is super. All right. Just curious, because I remember it being a February thing, and now it's a May thing, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it comes just in time for Mother's Day.
That's right. Right, just, yeah, right around Mother's Day. That's yeah, right, exactly.
That's how I always remembered it, Tony.
Yeah. Now, February, it was like right after the Super Bowl, right after the NFL season, there was that lull period, and the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out. Now, listen, I know I'm dating myself, but I'm old enough to remember when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, there was actually the magazine. It was like you could still read about whatever was going on in sports, right? There was still a feature article about sports. There was still an NBA thing. It was, you know, they'd have everything, and then they'd have the swimsuits. And then as that magazine was getting more and more popular, it became its own issue. Like, the whole thing was swimsuits. The whole thing was swimsuit models. So, but I remember when it was just, that was it. It was the magazine. It was the weekly magazine that came in. All right. So again, back to, I want to get back to the PGA Championship for a second. So what do you think is, like, are we too obsessed with Tiger Woods? Are we putting too much on Tiger Woods at these majors? Or are we doing it because we just have this strong desire to see him do well, that's kind of what we're hoping for? Like, does Tiger Woods, I mean, again, you're talking about really good talent that's out there. So why are we interested in a guy like Tiger who shouldn't be competitive in this at all?
Yeah, well, I mean, right. I get what you're saying. We should be looking at him as some of the other, like, golf champions of the past.
I said this at the Masters, but I think it's more prominent or more important to say it here. The Masters there was always the caveat that the Masters was a place Tiger was so familiar, because when he won in 2019, he really did it with course knowledge. He really knew, hey, you don't hit it there. Everybody else is hitting it there. I know you don't. Like, on Sunday, you hit it there, not where these guys are aiming. And they're going to fall apart, and they did. And he won that Masters in 2019. He won it by his immense, you know, in deep, deep knowledge of the golf course. So when he got to Augusta this year, that was the thing. It was like, okay, if he can physically walk, and that's not a major problem, and he can hit golf shots, he's got a fighting chance because he knows the golf course. He knows the golf course really well. Now, I'm not saying Tiger doesn't know Southern Hills. He knows Southern Hills. He's won there before. But Southern Hills isn't a place they go to every single year all the time. And Tiger's been going to the Masters for 25-plus years. They don't do that with Southern Hills. So it's not realistic to think he has the same factors that made us think he could be competitive at the PGA at Southern Hills. They don't exist here, right? They just don't exist here. So what is it about this? Can Tiger win the, like, I don't think he can, but okay, if he can, that's a perk. I'm just glad he's back playing. He doesn't have to win for me to be, I'm excited that he's back playing. Because, and it's not for my own personal enjoyment. It is for the game of golf and Tiger Woods' resilience coming off that horrific accident. Right? An accident that could have killed him. The accident that could have cost him his leg. The fact that he's in majors and he's somewhat competitive, to me, is fine. It's good enough. Straight up 72 holes, a man playing in only his second event of the year coming off that kind of surgery is supposed to beat Rory McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler or Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth? Seriously? Like, I don't think that's realistic. And I know he's superhuman, but he is also human. I mean, there's just some things you're not going to be able to overcome. Right? I mean, I think the Tiger Masters win in 2019 was great. But also remember, he had won at East Lake before, and he didn't have the accident. He wasn't coming off an accident that almost took his leg off. I think it's unrealistic to think he can win this thing. I think it's not unrealistic to think he can be competitive enough to give you some exciting moments. I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make the cut. The PGA tends to be a little bit more easier than the other majors. It's kind of set up that way. I mean, if you look at the four majors that we have in tournament golf, the Masters is defined by being at the same course every single year and the speedy greens. If you get 20 under par at the Masters, fine. If you get plus two at the Masters, fine. It's played at the same venue and the greens are fast. The British Open is kind of the same way, but it's not played on the same course. But it is a course where they say it's set up the way it's set up. If the wind doesn't exist and the sun is out and it's 75 degrees in Great Britain and it's beautiful and you shoot 18 under par for four rounds, it's 18 under par for four rounds. If that wind kicks up and we get a minor hurricane blowing through here and it's raining and it's wet and the score is plus four, so be it. The U.S. Open takes a different approach. The U.S. Open says, we don't know what the weather is, but we're going to make the courses almost impossible to play. So we're going to grow the rough till it's all around, pretty much around your calves, where you can barely find the ball. The fairways are going to be narrow. The greens are going to be slick. If we get bad weather, it's going to make it even worse, but even par should do the trick here. And the PGA is an entirely different thing. The PGA is like, you know what? We want guys going low. That's what makes a professional golfer a professional golfer. And this is the Professional Golf Association's championship. So we want to highlight and focus on the thing that makes them professional golfers. We're not out here to embarrass these guys. We're not out here to showcase weather. In fact, most of the courses that we are playing at, weather isn't really that big of a deal, except maybe like Kiowa Island or someplace like that. But most of the time, it's just a course like Southern Hills. It's in the middle of America, and it's a pretty nice golf course. So it isn't too crazy or tricky. And they're like, shoot 16 under, shoot 18 under. It's good for us. It's fine. We're going to make it easy enough for you to do. We get to the U.S. Open in Brookline. I don't think Tiger's got a chance in Hades of winning that thing. That's impossible. British Open at St. Andrews, if you get nice weather, it's, you know, length isn't a factor there and whatnot, and Tiger is hitting the ball a long way, but he's not, you know, Brooks Koepka. But the PGA? Maybe. But every 68 he can throw out there, guys will shoot 66, 67.
I think it's just the Tiger factor, too.
Yeah,
I think it's always going to be this mystique that's out there.
Yeah.
That just surrounds Tiger no matter what. I mean, he could probably be 70 wanting to play Augusta, and we're going to be like, oh, could Tiger win it?
Sure. But I think Augusta is just a different beast. I honestly don't think people were thinking that Tiger could win the Masters because it was just any old golf tournament on any old course. I think it was he can win Augusta because Augusta takes the level of knowledge that a lot of players don't have, and he's got it. He's got an encyclopedia full.
Yeah.
Of this information.
Knows each blade of grass.
He hasn't played a golf course competitively since 2007. Golf course has changed. The overall design is, you know, pretty much the same. But how much of the 2007 Tiger Woods on top of the world round is he going to take into the Tiger Woods 45 years old, 46 years old, whatever old he is, how much is he going to be able to do the same thing? So, you know, I'm curious to see what the Tiger coverage is going to be like. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Michael in Atlanta on Twitter has said it best when it comes to the swimsuit issue. Every teenage boy in the 80s loved the swimsuit issue. You'd get the magazine in the mail and you were interested in it, then very interested in it, then very, very interested in it, then very, very, very interested in it, then not interested in it anymore.
Yep.
That's a perfect, perfect way to put that. Yeah.
Exactly. Right, I mean, you know what? And it's one of those things that probably no longer exists.
Yeah, well, we just talked about it. It does exist.
No, I'm saying the interest level.
Oh, right.
No, I know that the magazine still exists, and you know, us, you know, we relive our youth talking about it. Because I'll never forget that Kathy Ireland
one.
Kathy Ireland to me was my Kathy Ireland was my favorite. I thought she was just gorgeous.
She was a kicker.
Yeah, she was the kicker. What was the Necessary Roughness?
I don't remember.
Is that the movie?
I think so.
Scott Bakula that was in that movie?
Yeah. The aging quarterback.
Sinbad
was in it too.
Was Sinbad
not a
in
genie
it?
In that movie?
No. I remember there was a big offensive lineman that liked her. And she went to take a shower, and he stood
in the doorway.
In front of the shower in the doorway, would not let anybody take a look at her while she was in the shower.
He did not turn around once.
And he didn't turn around. He was protecting her integrity and protecting her privacy.
I wonder if they ended up together all these years.
Right.
Still together these years later?
Did he and the kicker get married down the road and come back to that Texas college for reunions and all that good stuff? Was that how it worked?
Yeah.
Kathy
but no, Ireland. But you know, because magazines aren't really available anymore. I had said something to my wife the other day, talking to my kids, and you know, said something like, "Oh, it'd be cool to get their name in the paper." My wife looked at me, newspaper.
You know, yeah.
Like, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
No, absolutely no doubt. Oh yeah, like there was a couple of times I could remember times where I had subscriptions to like 7 or 8 different magazines.
Of course.
Like sports magazines, golf magazines, fitness magazines.
I used to be so excited to get them in the mail.
Yeah, I used to.
Nothing anymore.
I subscribed to this gambling magazine that was like about casino gambling because it was like $10 a year. It was a pretty good magazine. Like magazines were everywhere. And now, I don't see them a lot and I don't know how the business is. That's a really good question. All right, hour 3 coming up next on Wake Up Call.